This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The U.S. Supreme Court says North Carolina's new election law can go into effect, and that means voters will not be able to register during the early voting period, so tomorrow is the last day to register. The changes also mean that votes cast in the wrong precinct will not be counted. The court's ruling reverses a previous decision from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that struck down those provisions in the state's new voting restrictions. So the full law is back in effect, and those who want to sue the state or have sued the state, in fact, to stop it, will wait for a trial next summer. Meanwhile, the 2014 election approaches. Voters will decide the U.S. Senate race and select candidates for the state legislature, county commissioners, and the North Carolina Supreme Court. But way down at the end of the ballot will be a proposed constitutional amendment. And unlike Amendment 1 in 2012, this one has not gotten much media attention. This year, voters will decide whether non-capital felony defendants should have the opportunity to waive their right to a jury trial. Jeff Welty is an associate professor at the UNC Chapel Hill School of Government. He's been studying how the amendment could change criminal justice proceedings in North Carolina. Jeff, welcome back to the State of Things. Good to have you.
Thank you so much.
So what is this? What does the state constitution say now about jury trials?
Right now, the Constitution says that if you're a person charged with a felony and your case is going to be handled in superior court, you can either plead guilty if you want to, or you can plead not guilty and have a jury trial. What you can't have is a trial before the judge alone, which is what lawyers call a bench trial.
All right. And apparently, is one form or another of this right exists in 49 other states, am I right?
That's right. The 49 other states and the federal criminal justice system allow defendants to waive their right to a trial before a judge, to a trial before a jury, and just have a bench trial. But North Carolina is the lone holdout, and we say it's a jury trial or nothing.
All right. And the rules change. In this case, we're talking about non-capital. This amendment applies to non-capital felony charges, right?
That's right. And there are a few other states that don't allow defendants to waive the right to a jury trial in capital cases, but only a handful.
All right. Well, that sounds like a pretty not a very controversial idea. You're giving a defendant a right, a new flexibility. You can either have the jury trial, which we had required before, or you can let a judge hear it and waive the jury.
That's right. And that's one of the arguments in favor of it, is that it doesn't take anything away from defendants. It gives them an option. And it's actually an option that some defendants might really want to have. So, for example, if you're a defendant with a long criminal record, or you're charged with a particularly notorious crime, or you've got a defense that is kind of a narrow technical defense that you think a judge might buy into more than a jury would, you might prefer to be tried by a judge rather than a jury.
All right. And do we know anything about outcomes, bench trials versus jury trials?
We know a little bit. There haven't been great studies done, but there was a study of federal court trials done several years ago, and it found that judges tended to acquit defendants about three times as often as juries did. Juries acquitted about 15% of defendants in federal court, whereas in federal bench trials, about 45% of defendants were acquitted. So there's at least some suggestion that there really may be an advantage for defendants. But again, the study's not perfect, so we don't know for sure.
And with all of that said, there are some objections and some real concerns about how this might play out for defendants.
Yeah, there are questions and concerns on both sides. So the state, the prosecution, might be concerned about the possibility of undue favoritism for certain defendants, especially ones who are represented by politically connected or influential lawyers. They might get more than a fair shake before the judge. And on the other side of things, some folks worry that if defendants are allowed to waive their right to a jury trial, that they might be pressured to do so.
And again, we don't know how that would play out or why anyone might pressure. For instance, why would the prosecution pressure a defendant into this, given some of the statistics? But it's a possibility.
It is. Prosecutors in North Carolina, like prosecutors elsewhere, have huge caseloads and a lot of pressure to move cases. So you can imagine a prosecutor saying to a defendant who's in jail awaiting trial, listen, if you're willing to have a bench trial, we can take care of it this week. We've got time to do that. If you want a full-fledged jury trial, we're not going to get to it for a couple months. And there's nothing wrong with that, and it might be just the right way to manage the docket. But for a defendant, defendant who's sitting in jail, that may still exert considerable influence on them in choosing which form of trial to have.
Right, so you might be thinking, well, I can get out of here a lot earlier if I just say yes but not think about all the consequences and not have the data available. Do we know, has there been much, have many of the interests that we might see weighing in on an issue like this, have they weighed in with their opinions?
Surprisingly little. I sometimes call this the stealth constitutional amendment because it's attracted so little attention across the state. Just in the past couple of weeks, there's been a little bit of interest in it. So, for example, the Guilford County Commissioners voted, passed a resolution opposing the amendment. Here in Durham, the Durham Committee on the Affairs of Black People has weighed in opposing the amendment. But, for example, the North Carolina Advocates for Justice, the main trial lawyers group, it hasn't taken a position. Neither has the Conference of District Attorneys. So there are some groups that oftentimes are involved in this kind of decision that haven't taken a stand.
Is there any room for any party to override? Could a judge override the decision? Could the prosecution override this decision?
Good question. And yes, the judge's consent to a waiver is required. So the judge could say, no, we're not going to do a bench trial. We're going to have a jury trial. I think that's the best way to go. This amendment doesn't really allow for the prosecutor to step in and say, oh, even though you'd prefer a bench trial, Mr. Defendant, we think that a jury trial would better serve the state's interest. And that's actually a contentious point because a substantial majority of other states do give the prosecutor the right to intercede and say, no, we'd rather have a jury trial than a bench trial in this case. So that's an issue that I think could become contentious down the road.
All right. One of the more interesting things about this amendment, too, again, we're all going to be asked to vote on this when we vote, when we go to the polls, is the wording. And we've had a discussion and we've been talking about this for 7 or 8 minutes to try to lay it all out. I wonder if you have a copy of it there, and maybe you can just read it for us to give us a sense of what it is we're going to confront when we walk into that box.
I do. Well, then there's really two things. There's the actual text of the amendment itself, and then there's what appears on the ballot, and they aren't exactly the same thing. But here's what's going to be on the ballot. It's going to have a heading that says NC Constitutional Amendment, and then the text will be Constitutional Amendment providing that a person accused of any criminal offense for which the state is not seeking a sentence of death in superior court may, in writing or on the record, in court and with the consent of the trial judge, waive the person's right to a trial by jury. And then there's a box marked for and a box marked against.
That's a lot to digest.
It's a mouthful.
To say there's a lot of having to go back over and over and over that text. We do have the text at our website, stateofthings.org. So that can be kind of confusing for a voter, quite frankly.
It could. And given the lack of media attention to this particular issue, I think most folks are going to come into the ballot booth unprepared to assess the pros and cons of it. Our historical record suggests that once a proposed constitutional amendment makes it to the ballot, it's pretty likely to pass. So speculatively, people may vote for it even without really having studied the pros and the cons.
Talking about a proposed constitutional amendment that allows defendants to waive the right to a jury trial today on The State of Things. Jeff Welty is my guest, an associate professor at UNC School of Government. So you said the judge could override the defendant's decision here. Prosecution can't. Now, as a practical matter, does this mean the prosecutors might be shopping for just the right judge?
Oh, I think that in cases where the judge holds all the cards and makes the ultimate decision on guilt or innocence, it becomes critically important which judge is handling the case. So prosecutors and defense lawyers now already try to shop around and get the best judge because the judge has substantial influence over the trial. But when the judge is the whole kit and caboodle, there's absolutely a stronger incentive to shop around for the best possible judge for your side.
How does that even work? How can you shop for a judge?
Well, in North Carolina, prosecutors control the trial calendar, and so they schedule cases for trial, and they have a lot of authority over what judge hears a case. But defense lawyers, too, have moves where they can seek a continuance until a judge that they don't prefer has rotated into another district and a judge that's better for them has rotated in. So all that kind of gamesmanship will probably be amplified in cases where the judge is the ultimate arbiter of guilt or innocence.
In the other 49 states where some form of this right is on the books, do we know how it affects, first of all, how many defendants take advantage of it, what percentage, and whether or not it really affects the system very much?
In terms of the percentage of defendants that waive their right, we do know that. The National Center for State Courts has collected some data, and it varies quite a bit from state to state, from less than 10% up to more than half in a few states. the cluster is around 15% or so. So if I were guessing, I'd say that might be where we'd come out in North Carolina. I'm not really aware of any research into how that affects case outcomes or things of that nature.
All right, Jeff. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for the insight.
Thank you so much.
Jeff Welty is an associate professor in the School of Government at UNC Chapel Hill. Just ahead, we're going to start an issues-based approach to this year's midterm election. First up, we'll examine the candidate's stand on foreign policy and national security. It has become an important topic. Does it matter much to North Carolina voters? We'll talk about some of that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.